You're listening to On the Couch with Carly. Carly's couch is a safe space to talk. I'm a psychologist, but I'm not your pipe-smoking, tweed-wearing stereotype.
Hello, and welcome back to On the Couch with Carly. Today, I am just going to talk very quickly about something that comes up in my practice all the time, and I thought it would be really useful if I shared my tips with you all, as I think this is such a universal topic. And that is the topic of boundaries as self-care. So in some ways, I'm actually new to this topic, to this concept. It's something that I have learned through people like Dr. Becky and other experts who are sort of attending to what I think of as one of the consequences of patriarchy, the fact that women in particular, but not exclusively women, but women in particular, have been taught that it is our responsibility to take care of everyone's emotions. And in order to do that, we have to be particularly aware of and monitor the feelings of others. And this can sometimes lead to a kind of relational responsibility taking, where we feel we are not just empathic in the sense of like feeling another person's emotions and resonating with them and feeling compassion for them, but we are actually responsible for managing their emotions. And so I see so many women in my practice who deal with this, and they come to me and they tell me that they have guilt because someone felt something in their relationship, you know, that they needed something from someone, and when they asked for that need to be met, it was met with a feeling of, ooh, that's a heavy load. And then if they express themselves in a certain way that may involve taking space and time for themselves to take care of themselves, the other person responds with an emotional response. Maybe they feel hurt or upset, or, you know, just they don't get their needs met to the same degree they were. And then it causes a discomfort because I'm not supposed to take care of my own needs ahead of anyone else's, especially if it causes them discomfort. So I'm here to give you a little quick introduction to boundaries and how we can sort of take steps to actually act in accordance with our needs and with ourselves, and to do that regardless of whether it has an effect on someone else's emotions. So I'm going to lay it out using an example. Okay. So the example that I'm going to use is something that I see a lot with new parents. And that is in heterosexual relationships, but it doesn't only occur in heterosexual relationships because I've seen it in queer relationships as well. But let's just say, for argument's sake, for the purpose of this example, we're talking about heteronormative couples. So there's a dad and there's a mom. What I see endlessly in my practice is women, mothers, coming to me and telling me how they take care of many more things, the volume of the tasks that they take care of in the home and with the children far exceeds their husband. And they often have all sorts of rationalizations for this. Some of most common is that the husband earns more money and works, and that's his duty, is to bring home a certain amount of money that supports the family. And therefore, he's let off the hook from all of the caregiving, or most of the caregiving activities, but not just the activities, but the mental load that goes into taking care of a child. And so what I see in my practice is women who are burnt out. They're burnt out. They are running on empty. They've been doing, offering, caring, pouring their energy out into their families. And for good reason. This is, you know, it's a love language, acts of service. It's a way of feeling worthy. If you as a woman have not felt in your life that you have really I don't know, you know, established a sense of worthiness, then being a parent is a wonderful place to pour that, to pour yourself into so that you can feel a sense of esteem and worthiness. And so there might be really good reasons for this, but even if it's something you really want to do, it gets too much sometimes. It's exhausting to be in an unequal situation where you are pouring and pouring and pouring, and the other person is just taking. And then they'll sometimes say to you, just tell me how to help you. Just tell me how to help you. And that is a big cop out because it's really adding more mental load on you to now not only do all the things, but then you have to figure out what of the things can you actually ask for help about. And then you have to explain to the person what needs to be actually done. And it really is a way in which we are expecting ourselves to be the only people that actually are responsible in the system for caregiving. Okay, so the scene is that people come to my therapy practice and they're exhausted. They are absolutely burnt out. They feel all sorts of their experience is a number of different things. So they feel sometimes a lot of rage, anger, and sometimes it's irritability. Sometimes it's anxiety. Sometimes it's all of those things. And I always say, like, anger is there for a reason. And one of the things that anger does is it shows us where our boundaries have been pushed over. And so if you trace it back and you think, okay, is there a time before I got to this point of feeling burned out where I may have articulated something about what I needed or what I could no longer do without it putting too much strain on me? So, I'm going to say that again. If I trace back in time, could I imagine a moment when I could have said, either I need you to XYZ, or I need this for myself, whatever this is? Or is there a time in which you could have said, I can't keep offering this without it putting strain on me? It's too much for me. And I think there's something really interesting about that because already people get quite like uncomfortable because they're like, I hear inside of myself that there's a script, and I believe it's a societal script that's delivered that we're given as women, which is we should never say that something is too much for us, particularly if it's in the caring profession. Because, and profession, I mean like in the caring realm. Because we have been told that that's our duty to our families, that's what makes us worthy, that's what we need to offer in relationships, that's how our relationships have always looked. We're supposed to just pour out and pour out and pour out and give and give and give and care and care and care. And that's how we love people, right? That's how you love people, is you just give and give and give and give and give, no matter what it costs you. And I always start by saying, well, it doesn't have to go like that. It can. That can be your choice. But usually, when you see the symptoms of burnout, when you are stressed and frazzled and you feel like you can't order your mind, or you can't manage the tasks that are in front of you, you feel like you are spinning around or spinning out, or you're procrastinating or you're avoiding, or you have extreme levels of anxiety for the smallest tasks, or you feel rage or you feel resentment or you feel depressed. All of those symptoms are signaling to you that it is not okay. That it's not okay for you. And your job is to listen to those symptoms. And that's why I always congratulate people who come into my practice because I'm like, well done. You listened. You got it. You realized you needed to get support. You needed something to shift. And we are here to shift that. So, how are we going to shift that? What are some of the ways in which we can learn to practice boundaries in a relationship context? Because we probably also quite bad with boundaries in all sorts of other contexts, but I'm going to talk about the relationship context today. And that is, we have to really work out whether we have to kind of reckon with the idea that are we really responsible for somebody else's emotional experience? So I'm going to give you an example. If I say to you, this week, you're going to tell your partner that on Saturday and Sunday, you are not going to do the morning routine with the kids. This Saturday and Sunday, you're going to take 2 hours each day for yourself. You're going to wake up when you want to wake up. You're going to leave the house if you need to, or if you have a space in the house where the kids don't bother you, you can retreat to that space. You're going to choose to listen to what you need and honor that to the exclusion of all other needs. That's what you're going to ask your partner. And you're going to see how that feels. Now, sometimes just by suggesting that, the women in my practice get uncomfortable. They're like, oh, but he doesn't know how to make the breakfast the way they like it, right? And if they're unhappy and he's frantic because he doesn't know how to make the breakfast and they're screaming, like, I've got to deal with that, right? That's on me. And then we'll think about that together. And I'll be like, actually, it's actually not on you, because he's also an adult in the system and he's also a parent and he could also learn, just like you learned, what they want for breakfast or how to meet their needs. And one of the ways he's going to learn that is through the experience of having to hold their discomfort, their upset feelings, and work through it.
Bringing a baby home isn't just about nappies and night feeds. It changes everything. Your identity, your relationships, even your career. If you're expecting a baby or recently became a parent, my online course, Oh Baby, WTF, is for you. It's not your typical antenatal class. It goes deeper into the real, often messy experience of becoming a parent. You'll explore the four big spheres that shift when a baby arrives: who you are, your partnership, your community, and your work life. And you'll walk away with a practical mental health toolkit to help you through those "what just happened" moments. All online, self-paced, honest, real, and actually helpful. Ready to feel more prepared for everything that comes with a new baby? Head to onthecouchwithkylie.com to find out more and sign up for Oh Baby WTF today.
Can you hear that? Can you hear how that feels uncomfortable? That's my job. I am the one that works through everyone's feelings in this family, right? And what if he's cross with me? And what if it means he has to sacrifice his golf? What if it means if he can't do his thing that he always does on a Saturday morning? He's going to be cross. He's going to be upset. He's going to feel resentful. That's how women in my practice start to think. And I'm going to say to you, okay, well, that is possible. That is possible. He might feel a bit bummed. He might have to deal with emotions that he wouldn't have to deal with otherwise. And he can survive that. And you can survive the feeling of being responsible for those feelings in him. And one of the ways you're going to survive that is you're going to be in your own body and you're going to be experiencing what it feels like for you to be free for those 2 hours. And it's going to feel good. And you're going to let it feel good. And when it feels good, you're going to tell yourself that you are deserving of that good feeling. Because otherwise, what are you saying to yourself? What are you really saying? Are you saying that your feelings don't matter as much as the others? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you want to promise yourself? Is that the vow you want to make yourself at this stage? That even though it's hurting really badly, you still want to choose to put your emotions last on the priority list? Because that's a choice we make. I'm suggesting there's an opportunity here to shift that and to step into something else, to say, actually, what is this agreement that I've made here to this person, to this family? Is the agreement that I will always suffer so that they will not? Is that it? Is that who I want to be as a mother, as a person in the world? And if that is so, how am I ever going to not feel the burden of that? And if I'm feeling the burden of that, then that impacts my relationships, right? It impacts my body, my health, my comfort levels. So that's a choice, but you could choose differently. So it might take a little bit of time to get used to, but your first step is to take space, make space, make time for yourself. And all you're going to do is just check in with yourself and just say, what am I feeling? What am I needing? What's the next thing I need to do to offer myself what I am feeling is required? Then the next step is to work out no. No is the most beautiful, simple, yet incredibly complex notion for us women, okay? When I say to my clients, you could just say no, they usually balk and say, I can't say, I can't say that. I can't say that. And so if you're struggling with saying no, first step is to pause before you say yes. So it's not to say you're not allowed saying yes anymore, right? We don't have to have rules about this. It's not about fixing and having a rigid sort of set of requirements, but we have to see that if we make automatic yeses, we might not have the space and time to reflect on whether this thing that that we're offering is actually beneficial to the person we're offering it to, and is it beneficial to us? And if we're making a choice that is definitely beneficial to them, but not beneficial to us at all, or if we're making the choice that may not actually be beneficial to them and is definitely not beneficial to us, why are we doing that? And so often we'll find we will be taking things on. Like, let's say with the parenting example, my husband doesn't know how to change a nappy. Let's say that's an example that someone brings to my therapy room. And so I'm changing all the nappies, right? I may think that's of benefit to him. He doesn't know how to do it. So me doing it all the time is helping him. But is it helping him? Is it helping him to learn how to change a nappy? Is it helping him to feel empowered as a father? Is it helping him build a bond with his baby? Because we all know the person who changes the nappy has time looking at the baby, touching the baby's skin, connecting with the baby, soothing the baby, and knowing the baby, knowing the baby's rhythms. And so what are you actually doing then by doing all the nappies? Because what I'm hearing it, you doing is you are interfering with with the relationship he's building with his child. You're interfering with the development of his role as a parent. And you are interfering with your own peace and space and time because you're busy changing nappies when you could be doing other things that are actually about meeting your own needs. And so we have to think about when we rush in to help, to offer, to give, to say yes. If we see someone needing something and we say, I'll take it on. Or they do their helplessness act and they go, oh, I don't know what's going on. And you say, I'll fix it. I'll figure it out. And we do that all the time. Are we actually helping? Are we actually doing what we think we're doing? Or are we actually just in a system that is taking advantage of us while that and not to its advantage, right? What's actually more advantageous is when I take care of my own needs, when I balance taking care of you and taking care of me, and I offer you a true reflection of who I am, my strengths and my limitations, when I show up and I say, that is something I could do, but I don't do it because it's not good for me. When I do that, when I show up in relationships like that, I actually show up in a way that is more authentic, more helpful, constructive to everybody else. And you then model to everybody else, including your children, how to do boundaries, how to show up in a way that offers boundaries. And I also just want to say one more thing about boundaries, and that is that boundaries are there to offer us protection. They are the very most important ingredient of safety, right? If I think about what it means to have therapy with someone,
One of the most important things that makes a therapeutic relationship therapeutic is the boundaries, is the fact that when you come speak to me, I am not your friend. I do not need things from you. The boundaries of our relationship are that you don't know me. You don't know what I need. You don't know what I'm after or how I'm feeling, what's going on in my life. You come to me and I know you. And that's a boundary. It's a boundary that I hold by not loading you with the expectations that you're supposed to take care of me as well. There's other boundaries, like the fact that we have a time and a date that we see each other, and you come for 50 minutes, and at the end of the 50 minutes, we say goodbye. It's not because I'm punitive and I don't want you to have more time. It's because the boundaries is what creates the safety, it is what creates the safe space that I offer you. So we have to offer ourselves and others safety with boundaries. We have to show that we are actually the grown-ups that know how to take care of those we love and of ourselves, because that is what actually lets people know they're safe. This is just the beginning of this conversation. I hope to have more conversations with you about boundaries. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to On the Couch with Carly. If something in this episode resonated with you or made you feel less alone, that means the world to me. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now in video format on YouTube. For exclusive content and resources, visit our website at onthecouchwithcarly.com. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please consider leaving a rating or review. It really does help others discover our safe space for authentic conversation. Until next time, please take good care of yourself. I can't wait to be back on the couch with you again.